Today, as we begin, I would first like to raise up how music is one of the things that can cross generations. My family has roots in the South, and while I was a girl, my father used to play the two songs that the choirs sang, and he would sing them very loudly in a very bad voice. Or he would play them over the radio in the house or in the car. He learned those hymns from his family, from the generations before. And even though he had left the church that sang those hymns, he still loved them. And I loved them, even when I was rebelling as a teenager. From my great-grandparents to my grandparents to my father to my children, those hymns bridge the generations of my family. And in our hymnal, there are songs too that bridge generations. Music, holy music, nurtures and sustains us as individuals and as family, a family of believers. The first hymn we sang, "We Would Be One," was written by a Unitarian youth for our national youth organization. I know, isn't it interesting? So let us ponder. How do we talk across the generations? How do we create a space where all hands are held? This, I believe, is an important endeavor. We must learn from each other. But there are times when I wonder at the ways that the different generations are portrayed. Raise your hands if you have heard that millennials are lazy, unrealistic, or spoiled. Or how many times have you heard Gen Xers talk about how baby boomers have ruined their lives? Yeah, I know. How many of you have heard of the generation from World War II described as the golden or the best generation? Yeah. Historically, the different generations have been portrayed as both the best and the worst. And each cohort gets labeled and infused with cultural attributes. Yet all of the generations inhabit families, workplaces, communities, and religions. Moreover, despite what we hear, every generation brings gifts and habits, joys and innovations. Each grouping is formed by its own unique circumstance. All of the historical time periods have distinctive perspectives, and in times in reflection in our Unitarian Universalist faith, each group has had a hand in changing our course and leading us along new paths. Multi-generational thinking brings new wisdom into the greater community for all to share. There was a Unitarian who taught about this idea, and he coined the term creative exchange. Reverend Henry Nelson Wyman, an internationally known theologian, started his career as a professor examining the relationship between God, humans, and their environments. He called this interchange naturalism, and he taught theology in a famous Chicago seminary and later at the liberal seminary Lombard, one of the branches of our own Unitarian Universalist Seminary, Meadville Lombard, and he taught at Star King. At one point in his life, he came here to the Unitarian Church in Eugene, Oregon. because he was wrestling with his beliefs about God. He saw our faith as a place that would support his doubts and emerging ideas. Wyman dropped the notion here of a male God for the creative exchange theory and developed a new description of his original philosophies. He described this notion of a creative exchange as creative events. For instance, this creative event, this Sunday morning service, operating in a way to expand the range, variety, and vividness of the qualities which the mind can appreciate in the forms of meaning. Wyman believed that this is an exchange between people, ideas, the environment, and something greater, but not outside of nature. There is a creative exchange which is the source of meaning, Wyman said. He believed that there are experiences in which we commit ourselves to religious endeavors, and that is where the holy reside. They are creative acts, and I believe we get this sense of the holy from the inclusion of all of our generations. In our Unitarian Universalist history, we have had moments when we supported the different generational undertakings, where we have created space where all hands are held. In my research for this sermon, I came across three valuable things that have helped us accomplish this: trust, dialogue, and funding. I'm going to say them again. Trust, dialogue, and funding. Universalists started first by taking a look at the needs of their youth and young adults. But most of the programming was started by young ministers and youth. Most were in seminary. They had a common cause in raising money for mission work and creating worship for their peers. Next came the Unitarians, and they started programming for their youth and young adults. But they pursued more intellectual and worshipful gatherings. Yet from the beginning of the formation of both groups, the Universalists and the Unitarians, they sent delegates from both the youth groups, nationally and congregationally, to each other's conferences, leadership trainings, and summer camps. It started from the very beginning in 1837. Very beginning, they were merging. I found that fascinating. The adults and the elders in both faiths believed that it was important to support the work and the worship that their young adults and youth were trying to create. Throughout our history, this has not always been so, but there were long periods of time when there was trust, dialogue, and funding across the generations. And through this creative exchange, the youth and the young adults showed the denominations that merger was possible. It was the Unitarian and the Universalist youth leadership who led the denomination 25 years later to merge. So the youth started talking about merger, and then 25 years later, they were in the leadership as adults during our merger. So we gain when the youth are in our creative exchange. And out of youth national conferences, they created touch groups, and small group ministry programs were born out of those touch groups. That learning in youth camps came into our adult sensibilities. Young adults were the first to explore how to welcome differences in sexual and gender orientation. The youth and the young adult caucuses supported the voices of African Americans within our denomination, and they were traveling during the civil rights to register voters. Youth groups bridged communities, adults and children, and elders in their local congregations by offering worship and coffee houses. Young adults taught innovative leadership development classes to their congregations and at General Assembly. And I was at the first General Assembly in the 90s when the adults put young adults and youth on the steering committee to organize the General Assembly, and it radically altered the way we did things. Youth and young adulthood is a time of wonder. It is a time when we wake up to the world around us and we see with fresh eyes. And yet Wyman believed he came to his greatest understanding about the nature of religion after his retirement. It was men like Wyman in seminaries and in congregations who were teaching the youth to explore theology and religious ideas. Both generations helped form our denomination. It is this mutual trust that created bursts of innovation exhibited in our denominational history. And trust is needed. Often, the norms and values between the eras are vastly different. Changing ideas and emerging scientific and sociologic knowledge shifts the locations of norms and values. Each generation brings freshness to old understandings. So first, we need to build trust so that we can enter into dialogue with one another. One of our ministers, Robert Severance, said, "In our churches, societies, and congregations, we need to remember that words more often get in the way than they help to explain, because they are loaded with previous meanings from the past, and each generation's past, of course, are different." One of the ways we have learned to promote dialogue here in Eugene in trusted environment is to use appreciative inquiry. Instead of assuming meaning, we can go into conversations with a holy curiosity to discover what others in the group are really saying. In this way, we can stop making assumptions and get to the heart of the ideas each generation is expressing. When we enter into safe spaces, the dialogue can be rich. Dialogue in healthy relationships leads both parties to deeper levels of understanding. Wyman said that God, later creative interchange, occurred in relationships and in the intersections of being and events. Creative exchanges, he said, are the integrating process at work in the universe. The holiness resides in the growth which springs anew when old forms perish. However, trust and dialogue are only part of what is needed if we are to house all of the generations fully in our churches and in our denomination. Funding is also needed to create and support programming for each other. And this can be difficult. But if we use creative exchange between the multiple generations, we will create multi-level programming to meet, if not all of the needs, at least the most important needs of each group. And herein lies the joy to be had when we create space for everyone to inhabit. Think back to the story Robin told. In the story, the youth got to be comrades. They got to hang out and talk about the things that were important to them. They got to explore limits, bond over feelings of misunderstood, of being misunderstood by the adults. They got to explore freedom in a safe space. After all, the adults were watching them. In the story, the police got to be the law, the limit setters, the safety watchers. They had their uniforms and their prescribed roles. They could feel important, but they could also admire the cars and remember back to when they were young. The preachers got to preach to those who might never grace the doors of their churches. They got to pat each other on the back if one of the youth did come to church. They had their purpose fulfilled by doing the good works required of them as Christians. All of them got the camaraderie of their peers and a sense of place and time and order. Each group was in community with each other. And without each other, the community would have been diminished. And let's not forget Reverend Meg, who wrote this story. She went and talked to each group, and she was able to glean the wisdom from her observations. Reverend Severin says, "What we know is that we need each other if we are to go through whatever it is we are to get through. In this community, we need all of the gifts that each generation brings so that we can live through this time of civil unrest." This story is a story of hope and redemption. It shows a path for us to follow with glad hearts. History, said Wyman, does not solve problems, it only presents them. We need the creative exchange if we are to overcome the negative portrayal of our distinctive generations. The creation of our aspirations here, where all hands are held, is a wonderful beginning. So rejoice, for we know that it is possible to establish multi-generational communities. Our denominational history is full of examples of creative endeavors among multiple generations. We have given the generations space to build trust and dialogue. We have given funding to worthy enterprises, and we have opened space for the youth to show us new understanding and ways of being in the world. And we, the elders, have also taught the youth the wisdom of our ages. Creating sanctuary where all hands are held, says Wyman, is to create a kind of self-giving, a calling of faith to what holds us to be, I'm sorry, calling faith to what holds one to be the source of all human good, to serve and obey it, above all, to be transformed by it in any way that may be required. And the people said, Amen.